It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby, NFC style. Hopefully you guys got full and fed on yesterday's AFC fantasy breakdown for week number 7 in the National Football League. Time flies, I guess, when you're having fun. RossTucker.com is always the place to get the feed for this podcast for any way in which you subscribe or listen or download. For those of you that are new listeners, we appreciate it. We appreciate those of you that spread the word to the new listeners. Let us know if you'd like a third feast each week where we just answer questions. You either email or tweet questions. We go rapid fire because basically when we're answering those questions, you get to know who we're higher on that week. You get to know who we like, you know, whether it's this guy or that guy when we're getting these, hey, pick two, pick three, whatever it is. So we can do that. Speaking of picking, a lot of you have to pick a quarterback to stream this week or a defense to stream this week, which means it's time for the perfect mix for your fantasy lineup presented by MusicMixDaily.com, your go-to destination for music reviews and information. Evan, who do you got? Give me some quarterbacks. Give me some defenses. We weren't as good this week, right? Somebody got mad at us, I saw on Twitter.
Yeah, we were not perfect last week. We recommended the Broncos. They had a game-ending pick six, so they paid dividends. But the worst recommendation, hopefully all year, will be the Buccaneers' defense against Baltimore. I mean, that couldn't have worked out more poorly. And we said at the time it was a total long shot. But it was, you know, it was a shot in the dark. And I actually got excited about it before the game when I saw that Kelechi Osemele, who is the Ravens' stud left guard, he was going to be out. So the Ravens had to turn to Geno Gradkowski, and I was like, oh, man, Gerald McCoy is going to eat. But the Ravens just, you know, they played a short drop passing game, and the Buccaneers couldn't stop a slant route to save their own lives. And, I mean, the Buccaneers, I don't know if the game has passed by Lovie Smith, but it certainly seemed that way on Sunday. And I apologize to anybody that used the Buccaneers defense. I used them, and I think in one league they got me negative 3 points.
All right, so, well, listen, it happens.
At least we're all losing together, right?
Yeah, you know what? It happens. Nobody's going to be perfect. That's what this thing's about. So right. Who do you have this week?
All right, Buffalo D against Teddy Bridgewater. The Bills are second in the NFL in sacks, and we saw what happened with Teddy last week. I mean, he's a rookie, and he's going to struggle. And this also fits our mantra of we want to start defenses at home. And the Bills are coming off, you know, a blowout loss to New England. I think they will bounce back. They've got a lot of good players. The Vikings offensive line is a serious problem. And we want to start defenses against that, especially ones that have good D lines like the Bills. And the second one should be pretty obvious for everyone. If the New England defense is available on your waiver wire, and I noticed that they were available on one of my waiver wires last week, grabbed them and used them right away against Buffalo. They're going to be useful this week again against Geno Smith on Thursday night. Have the ability to erase Eric Decker and make Geno Smith play with, you know, David Nelson and Jeff Cumberland and Jeremy Curley. So Patriots D and Buffalo D.
Quarterbacks?
Okay, so we kind of nailed these last week, at least, Ross. I mean, Kirk Cousins had 2 touchdowns and 354 passing yards. I know that he threw 3 picks, but those don't hurt too bad in most fantasy leagues. And then Carson Palmer had 250 yards and 2 TDs, no turnovers. So we were pretty good on that. We're going to keep riding the Carson Palmer train and get used to this, because over the next 4 weeks, he's got maybe the most favorable schedule of any quarterback in fantasy. Feeling great about him at Oakland. It'll be a good weather game. I thought his velocity was fine in his first game back, and Bruce Arians obviously did. They let him rip it 44 times. So they're gonna push the ball downfield at Oakland. Flacco against Atlanta. This is a game where Joe Flacco will be at home. The Falcons' D is bad, and that's really all you need to know.
All right, that is the perfect mix for your fantasy lineup this week. It's presented by MusicMixDaily.com. That's a listener's website. Really cool, the effort they put into their music reviews, their information on music. If you're into music, they've got some stuff there for you. The go-to destination, I should say, at MusicMixDaily. NFC time, Bri.
Next meal.
All right, let's start off. I know you mentioned it a little bit in the Music Mix Daily segment, Atlanta at Baltimore.
Well, we talked about the Ravens offensively. Now we got to talk about the Falcons offensively. I was surprised, Evan, that they only scored 13 points against the Chicago Bears. That was one of the most surprising things of the weekend, I'd say.
Yeah, and that's a big red flag on them, too, because the Bears don't have a great defense. Jake Matthews, by the way, is not playing well. The Falcons' left tackle, they've lost basically the rest of their offensive line. So the only thing that they could have hung their hat on was Jake Matthews, and he has struggled. So, you know, Matt Ryan over the last 2 weeks, everybody was so excited about him in fantasy the first three or four games of the season. But over the past 2 weeks, he has two touchdown passes, and they were both on, like, catching runs by Antone Smith. So, you know, I mean, they're lucky that the Falcons are fantasy owners of Matt Ryan right now are lucky that he even has those touchdowns. And then now they're going up against a Baltimore D that can really bring pressure. I mean, Pernell McPhee is a stud. Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, Haloti Ngata. They should destroy the Falcons up front. And it will be interesting to see how Dirk Koetter compensates for the major mismatches that will occur in the trenches. Matt Ryan to me right now is a borderline fantasy starter. And if I was, you know, forced to start him against Baltimore, I'd be saying my prayers.
What does that mean for Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Steven Jackson?
I mean, Julio Jones gets the ball so much that, you know, you can't ever bench him. The Ravens have a really good run defense. Steven Jackson never does anything unless he scores a touchdown. So he's extremely touchdown dependent, and he has a bad matchup. So you sit him against Baltimore. Roddy White has probably been one of the worst wide receivers, to be quite frank, in the entire NFL over the first 6 weeks of the year. I expect him to improve. He's a savvy veteran. I don't think he's all of a sudden done, but he might be. But, you know, we'll see. He's just a third receiver option in fantasy until he shows more. Julio Jones, by the way, there was a report that he was dragging his left foot in the locker room. And I could also see in last week's game against Chicago, it looked like he was limping a bit on the field. He's a warrior and he'll go out and play. But that's something to kind of keep an eye on.
Next meal.
Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings at the Bills.
Well, at least they gave McKinnon the ball a lot. Cordarrelle Patterson's not even a thing anymore. That guy doesn't even exist, so he's off the grid. And now I saw a quote where, was it Zimmer that said he wants to give Asiata more touches and McKinnon less? Are they trying to make it so that it's impossible to put one Minnesota Viking in your lineup?
Yes. I mean, yeah. And now you know how fantasy footballers feel every year about teams that do things like this. You know, Ross, I mean, in previous years, you weren't privy to this, and now you got to deal with it and think about it, and it's so hard, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Something Jerick like that is frustrating. It really is.
Yeah, yeah, and you have Jerick McKinnon in our league, by the way.
I know I do.
Yeah.
That's why it's frustrating to me. I gotta call Mike
exactly.
Zimmer. This has got to change. I gotta call Mike Zimmer. I've got some juice with him. Maybe I can fix this before it happens. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about with the Vikings. I mean, you already said, you know, that you'd stream the Bills against them. I mean,
right?
Is there anybody else that you'd even consider playing? I mean, it's got to be the deepest league in the galaxy, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's Jerick McKinnon. We don't know what his workload is now. It looked like there was a changing of the guard in the Vikings backfield last week. He played almost 50 snaps. Matt Asiata played 15. Jerick McKinnon had 17 touches. Matt Asiata had 3. You know, it looked like the arrow was really pointing up. And then Zimmer comes out and says that this week. And now you also have to deal with the Bills' number one run defense. So, you know, in an ideal world, I would give it another week before using either of those guys. If I had to choose between them, I would go with Jerick McKinnon for sure. But those were concerning statements from Mike Zimmer for sure for fantasy owners.
Next meal.
The Chicago Bears are hosting the Miami Dolphins.
Well, the Bears were on fire. It was good Jay in Atlanta. The Dolphins have a better defense than the Falcons do. And the Bears haven't been as good at home. But it's still hard to sit any of these guys. I mean, Forte's been a machine. Martellus Bennett, you know, Brandon Marshall. You know, is there anybody or anything about this game that gives you pause with any of these guys, Evan? If somebody has, you know, it's not a deep league and they've got several choices at receiver?
No, those guys should be locked into your lineups every single week. And that's what's great about the Bears is just there's really no worry about those guys. You just start Brandon Marshall, you start Alshon Jeffrey, you start Jay Cutler, he's the number 4 overall fantasy quarterback, and you start Matt Forte. The guy who has been a little bit disappointing recently is Martellus Bennett. He's had 2 slow games, you know, which isn't a surprise. I mean, the early in the season, Martellus Bennett was benefiting from the fact that Jeffrey and Marshall had injuries. Matt Forte was not running the ball effectively at that time. So the Bears leaned more on Martellus Bennett. And now they're not leaning as much on Martellus Bennett. You know, they want to throw the ball downfield to Alshon Jeffrey. And they want to, you know, feed the ball in the short and intermediate regions to Brandon Marshall. And at this point, Martellus Bennett has kind of been reduced back to the number 4 option in their offense. And so he's going to be a little bit up and down. He's not going to keep producing like he did in the first few weeks. And right now he's a low-end starter in fantasy.
What about – well, let's just move – I think that's it for this game. I'm already thinking in my mind about the next game. Let's do it.
Next meal.
The New Orleans Saints at the Detroit Lions.
This is interesting. Let's start with the Saints. Coming off of a bye, no Jimmy Graham – mm-hmm. And going against a Lions defense that is badass. I mean, they are. They have a badass defense right now. I don't know. What does that mean for you, for Cooks and Colston and the running back situation? I think Ingram's trying to get back. I don't know if he'll be able to come back as of when we're recording this. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, usually the Saints, it's like, all right, it's the Saints. But they're not really the Saints this year. Jimmy's out, and here come the Lions defense.
Yeah, and I have Drew Brees in one league. It's actually a 2-quarterback league. And, I mean, I'm definitely starting him, but I'm a little worried because the Lions D is awesome. We've been talking about this since early in the year. Terrell Austin, if there was a defensive coordinator of the year award, he gets it. Through 6 weeks of the season, for sure. I think what we should mostly talk about is the Saints' passing game without Jimmy Graham. And I know that a lot of people have suggested that Marcus Colston takes on a bigger role, and that makes sense. But I also wouldn't be surprised if the Saints really, you know, really effort to get the ball to Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, has – I think 12 more targets on the season than Marcus Colston, and also has 5 rushing attempts. I mean, they can kind of use him like Percy Harvin. And I would be, and I know that Brandon Cooks has been really up and down so far, but I think they're going to feed him the rock against Detroit. And Marcus Colston is a good start with Jimmy Graham out, but I think that that Brandon Cooks will be the focal point of the Saints passing game coming out of their bye. In the backfield, you're right, we don't really know what is going to happen with Mark Ingram. the beat writer Mike Triplett from ESPN suggested that they would ease him back in. I mean, Kyrie Robinson is running well. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. Pierre Thomas is definitely not going away. And they've also used Travaris Cadet, and the Lions play really good run defense. So you're kind of on your own starting Mark Ingram. It's not like he's going to be a big carry guy anyways. I mean, he's going to come back and get 11 to 14 carries a game. And, you know, he's going to be touchdown dependent. I think that if he has a good game at any point in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I would try to trade him because I think he's going to be frustrating in fantasy. He's just not going to get the ball enough, and he doesn't really get the ball in the passing game either. So he's going to be very touchdown dependent.
As for the Lions, doesn't look like Calvin Johnson's going to play again. How about my guy? I talked about him in one of our very first fantasy feasts. Dan Orlovsky had given me the tip on this guy in on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We finally, Evan, had a Theo Riddick sighting, and as soon as we do, Reggie Bush says he's coming back to play the next week.
Yeah, and didn't Theo Riddick, I think he aggravated his hamstring injury too. But you're right.
I didn't realize that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he did. He wasn't playing late in the game. But, yeah, no, I mean, he's a good football player. Theo Riddick, you know, he's definitely a good football player. It's just he's a third stringer, and now Bush is back, and Joey Bell. You know, Joey Bell, by the way, put the Lions offense on his back in the second half of last week's game. The Lions really could not get anything going outside of Theo Riddick early and then Joey Bell late. And, you know, I would expect Joey Bell to continue to handle 14 to 17 carries per game, plus a couple of catches, plus goal line carries, even with Bush back. And then this is a bad defense for the Saints. I mean, they can make offensive adjustments to account for the loss of Jimmy Graham, but you can't go get better, you know, go get better players on defense at midseason, you know, in the NFL. Without trading, and you know nobody really does that. So, I would like the revenge game narrative for Reggie Bush. I would like Golden Tate. You know, I know that he had a slow game last week, but he also had 12 targets. I would definitely want to fire him up. Joey Bell, I think when healthy, is an every week fantasy starter. And then Matthew Stafford without Calvin Johnson is like a mediocre NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
Next meal.
The Carolina Panthers at the Green Bay Packers.
Well, the good news is for Carolina, Cam Newton's playing really, really good football. They continue to move the ball, put points up. Greg Olsen, Benjamin, Cam on the ground was a beast, which gets me a little bit nervous with him taking that many shots in terms of his long-term health. The Packers maybe didn't light up the Dolphins, but they did enough. Neither team really has a great defense. This isn't quite as much of a hey, it's Baltimore going against Atlanta, but it feels to me like this is going to be a pretty big game fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm definitely excited for it. I'm excited to watch it. You know, I think it's going to be a really fun game. I guess we started with Carolina, so I mean, look, Cam Newton was having the best year of his career as a passer before they let him run last week. Actually, Greg Cosell has kind of talked about this on the Fantasy Guru podcast with Hansen. You know, because he's a dual threat quarterback, sometimes those quarterbacks don't learn the subtleties of the position when they're being allowed to run and being told that it's okay to run. Well, Cam Newton in the first 6 games of the season was not allowed to run, essentially. You know, I think the Panthers as a team decided that they weren't going to run Cam Newton. And, you know, because of his injuries and, you know, whatever. But there's a possibility that he progressed as a passer in his career and took a step forward as a passer during that 6-game period. And now, you know, you're going to let him run again. I mean, the upside is through the roof. I think he's got the best receiver easily. I mean, probably the best receiver that he's played with. Kelvin Benjamin in terms of size and speed and red zone ability. I mean, Steve Smith was great, but Kelvin Benjamin is, you know, a souped up version. And Greg Olsen has been the beneficiary of Cam Newton's best passing year. Greg Olsen is on pace for almost 90 catches, the first 1,000-yard season of his career, 14 touchdowns. That's his pace through six games. So yeah, I'm Cam's excited numbers, about this offense.
And Cam's numbers could be even better. I've seen Kotchery and Avant drop some balls. I think Kotchery dropped the touchdown. Could
Benjamin
be even better.
Dropped a ton of balls.
And what about Green Bay? Just kind of the usual suspects. It was a little bit back to earth for Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, but the Panthers can't stop anybody on D right now. So you're still firing up Eddie Lacy. The guy who I'm interested in, and we last week we mentioned Andre Holmes as an option in a daily league like DraftKings or FanDuel. And he paid big-time dividends. And the guy that I like this week is Davante Adams, who last week played 78% of the Green Bay snaps. He had eight targets. I mean, Aaron Rodgers loves this guy. And the Panthers' defensive backs can't stop anybody. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to do whatever he wants against Carolina. And I think that Davante Adams is a player with the arrow pointing up, ready to pop. And I think he will pop against Carolina.
So if you're looking to do a one-week fantasy league like DraftKings.com, Davante Adams could be your guy. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Take Evan's advice. Go get Davante Adams at DraftKings, where you can pick your team in minutes, and you could be on your way to winning instant cash. You've heard the success stories. They are many. One guy turned $11 into $4,000. $11 into $4,000. You can get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Give it a shot. Try it once. Head over to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code FEAST. You can play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Next meal.
By the way, that was a nice segue there, Ross.
Nice.
Seattle at St. Louis.
Seahawks kind of got off track against Dallas. You know, it's interesting. Now they go and they play the St. Louis Rams, whose defense has been disappointing, to say the least. I mean, what do they have, one sack? It's just crazy. You know, to me, that means I think Marshawn Lynch gets back on track. Russell Wilson is probably a pretty good start against the Rams. Kaepernick had a big night on Monday.
Yeah, Rams are terrible in pretty much every way. So you just take advantage of that and start your fantasy guys against them.
The Rams offensively, too, are kind of frustrating because they're playing, I think Monday night they played 92 different running backs in that game. In terms of receiving, the only guy that I know for sure that they're trying to get the ball to, it feels like, is Jared Cook. So Cook might be a good start. Although, you know, as a tight end, he's going against Cam Chancellor a lot. I don't know if that's a matchup that the Rams feel like they can win on as much as some of these other teams they've been playing when he's been matched up against some linebackers or some smaller safeties.
Yeah, and then a concern for Brian Quick would be, well, last week the Seahawks started using Richard Sherman as a shadow cornerback. They used him to shadow Dez Bryant after Byron Maxwell went out. And Byron Maxwell isn't going to play this week due to a calf strain. So Brian Quick might have Richard Sherman attached to him. And, you know, I've got Brian Quick in a couple leagues, and I'm not starting him. At the same time, I have Cam Newton in a couple leagues, and I didn't start him last week. So, you know, I mean, that's not great process there. But Brian Quick, on paper, his matchup is scary. I would think that Jared Cook would be the focal point of the Rams, what they try to do in the passing game. He has been to this point anyways. And, you know, you can't start anybody in the Rams' backfield. They said that they're committed to a three-man running back rotation. So, you know, I don't know if they're trying to get the number one pick in the 2015 draft, but they're definitely headed that way.
Next meal.
Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans at the Washington Redskins.
Which means we're talking about the Washington Redskins. Tennessee's defense has been disappointing in recent weeks. Cousins continues to be up and down. Is DeSean Jackson a must-start at this point, Evan, with you know the big plays he's starting to make seemingly on a weekend basis?
Yeah, and this is something that we talked about in the early fantasy feast, that in Jay Gruden's offense, that Z receiver, which is the position that DeSean Jackson plays, the ball is going to go to that guy. And that's what has been happening. And look, you know, Kirk Cousins has a lot of flaws, but he's willing to pull the trigger on, you know, difficult throws. And sometimes that works against him. And sometimes, you know, they hit bombs to DeSean Jackson. And, you know, you're seeing everything that you want to see from DeSean Jackson. They actually got him. They got him a wide receiver screen last week and he took it 42 yards. So he's a definite every week starter. Pierre Garçon, I can't remember exactly, but I think he had a late touchdown against Arizona last week to kind of save his fantasy day. But for most of that game, I mean, he was on a milk carton. And he's just going to be really, really up and down. So that's what it is. By the way, Ross, Jordan Reed came back, and I think he wound up leading the Redskins in targets. And he had 8 catches for 92 yards. So that's exactly what you want to see from him off the hamstring injury. You know, he will continue to be a risk because he's been injured so much, even going back to Florida. But as long as he's rolling, you know, he's one of the better young tight ends in football.
Next meal.
Let's talk about the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys.
To say Sunday night was disappointing for the Giants would be the understatement of the century. Their offensive line got totally worked. Nobody could get open against Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher. It was a comedy of errors. Andre Williams, who I thought had a chance to break out, did not. Rashad Jennings out again this week. Victor Cruz out for the season, which means they signed Kevin Ogletree. But what does that mean in your mind, fantasy-wise, for Andre Williams, as well as your boy Rube and Larry Donnell going against the Cowboys defense, which is second in the league now in yards per attempt allowed, second worst, to clarify that. But if you just listen to their fans, they are it's a remake of the 85 Bears.
Oh, I know. I totally agree. I mean, and we talk about this every week, what they do as a team to mask their deficiencies. I mean, but that doesn't mean that all of a sudden they've become a shutdown defense. I mean, they have done a great job camouflaging their flaws, and they deserve credit for that. But you don't look at the defense and think, oh, wow, you know, this is the 2013 Seahawks. It's not at all. And you can run on them. You can throw on them. It's just you have to actually have the ball, because the Cowboys will play keep away and they'll dominate you in time of possession. And, you know, we hear every week that the Cowboys are going to reel in DeMarco Murray's touches. But in week 5, he had 37 touches, his most all year. And then last week he had 35 touches. And now he's on pace for 424 rushing attempts on the season, which would be an NFL record. So they're executing their formula to the fullest. Hats off to them. But it's not like you look at their defense and you're like, oh, God, you know, I don't want to start my fantasy players against him. I would start Reuben Randall. I would start Andre Williams. Odell Beckham is certainly in the conversation. The Giants need to get Larry Donald going again. He's been MIA the last 2 weeks. I don't know if I'd – the Cowboys have given up the most fantasy points in the league to tight ends. So that is – you know, that's tough to overlook if you got Larry Donald and you're sitting there and you're thinking about whether to start him, even though he's had 2 slow weeks in a row. You know, fantasy owners that have Eli Manning probably have another option as well. I could understand looking away from that, but Yeah, I mean, this is a really good matchup. The Cowboys do not have a good defense. I don't care what their fans say.
In terms of this game, though, is it enough to dissuade you from playing Andre Williams or Rube?
The issue that you face, again, is the keep-away issue. Are the Giants going to have the ball in the game? That's really hard to predict. Game flow is really, really hard to predict. I have Andre Williams in a couple leagues, and I'm going to be starting him for sure. And I have Reuben Randall in a couple leagues, and I'm starting him. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, on paper, this is a really, really good matchup for the Giants offense because the Cowboys do not have a good defense. They have a bad defense.
Next meal.
The Arizona Cardinals are at the Oakland Raiders.
Well, you already talked about it in the perfect mix for your fantasy lineup, musicmixdaily.com, that you like Carson Palmer in this matchup. You know, the other thing that almost is in your favor for any Arizona offensive players is that Arizona's pass defense, you mentioned it with Peterson, has been a little suspect. So Derek Carr might be able to put up some numbers, and, you know, this might turn into a shootout. Enough to make you feel real good about Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald?
Oh, yeah. It's on with those dudes again. I mean, this is exciting that Carson Palmer is back. We don't have to deal with the Drew Stanton, Logan Thomas thing. I mean, that was painful if you watched the games and if you just looked at the box scores. I mean, that was really, really painful. And with Carson Palmer back, those guys are a go. Michael Floyd caught a 20-yard touchdown pass last week. Had seven targets. He's in Carson Palmer's two starts. He has more targets than anybody. His stat lines in those two games are 447-1 and 519. So you're feeling great about Michael Floyd. Larry Fitz last week went 698-1 on six targets, and he had another catch negated by a holding penalty at the line of scrimmage that would have put him well over 100 yards. So, and this is not a good defense for Oakland. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald will probably be matched up with 63-year-old slot corner Carlos Rogers frequently on Sunday. And those guys, I would think of Michael Floyd as a second receiver in fantasy with first receiver upside, and Larry Fitzgerald, you know, a second receiver slash a third receiver in fantasy. I know that you've got Larry Fitzgerald. Are you going to start him this week, Ross?
I am going to start him this week, without question.
Next meal.
All right, let's finish it up with San Francisco at Denver.
Kaepernick had a masterful evening on Monday Night Football. They're another one, though, that they're really spreading around now with Bolden, Crabtree, Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd. Just all he does is make big plays. It's hilarious. They actually have some depth there. They did not run the ball particularly effectively against the Rams. This has the makings of a shootout, I think, on Sunday night, which is kind of surprising because it's not like either one of these defenses are slouches, but I can see both these teams getting into the high 20s, maybe even early 30s and low 30s in this game.
Yeah, Kaepernick is so up and down, though. You know, do you expect him to – I mean, do you trust him to bounce back and have a good game? I mean, after he had a good game, do you expect him to –
No, I don't think you can count on that. I think what you can count on, though, is I think the Broncos are going to score points. So I think that the Niners – you know, it's interesting. I think the Niners will come out and try to beat – you know, win the game up front, both sides of the ball, beat them up physically. But if they're not able to do that, Broncos get the lead – then it's going to be Kaepernick running and throwing all over the place to try to get back in the game.
Yeah, and the Broncos have a good D now, too. I mean, Tlaib and Harris are stud corners. Tlaib had the game-winning pick six last week. Von Miller is dominating again. You know, I've got the Broncos fantasy defense, and I'm kind of liking them against San Francisco. I think this could be a game where Kaepernick has a lot of turnovers. But, you know, I don't know, Ross. I mean, it's so up and down with the 49ers offense, especially with Kaepernick. I don't know. I don't know what to expect on a week-to-week basis.
So what does that mean? You're telling people to not play if they've got Bolden, Crabtree? Vernon Davis, by the way, looked awful Monday night. Awful.
Yeah.
You better not play him. I can tell you that much right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think that it's a really tough situation to sit here and try to project. I don't have confident opinions in any of the 49er or the 49ers offensive skill position players against a really good defense with a quarterback at the helm who I know he had a good Monday night game, but you know, he's really prone to just go back in the tank in the next game.
Well, we'll see, and we'll talk about it next week because that's all we have for this week. That'll do it for the NFC Week 7 Fantasy Feast Podcast. Love those of you that spread the word and retweet this. You can follow Evan on Twitter at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Brian and the official podcast handle at RTF Podcast for those of you that are so inclined. And you can always support the podcast if you need to buy something on Amazon. We've got an Amazon link, it's even for you folks in the UK and Canada, right there on the Fantasy Feast page at rostucker.com. Hopefully you guys are fed. We'll talk to you next week. I think we're done here.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off the MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.